It's the SB Nation DEC podcast, along with Sam Chamberlain for SB Nation DEC editor, Charles Walton, the SB Nation contributor, Scott Jackson, SB Nation columnist, and sometimes do radio on ESPN 980. Actually, Monday through Friday, 2 to 4. Please listen inside the locker room. All right, guys, the Nationals. You scared yet? What do you think, Charles?
Not yet.
What's it going to take to scare you, by the way?
Well, I mean, once Strasburg goes down, then I'm very scared.
Oh, okay.
All right. I'm very scared.
What about you, Sam?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I honestly thought, I'm a little concerned after Tuesday night's game, I'm not going to lie.
Because
I thought,
because
everyone trot out the stats that Strasburg is, I think, was before Tuesday night, he was 4-0 when this team was something like a, you know, ERA of around 2.
Yeah.
When this team had entered his starts in a losing streak of 3 games or more. They hadn't had, their longest losing streak of the season was 5. They've matched that now. And Strasburg, he just didn't have it
last
night.
He just
did not have it.
I think they left him in way too long.
I agree. And that bothered me. I don't understand why you leave. If we're talking pitch count, which we've talked
how many times can we talk about pitch count?
Right.
Or an innings count in a summer.
Exactly.
We're going for the record here in D.C.
It's silly. The innings count's out of control talk, but I get it. Anyway, I don't understand that you wasted at least one. To be conservative, you could say one. Really, 2 when you think about it. Right. You probably could have pulled him after the 3rd. But yeah, I don't understand why he went out for the 5th. And the worst part is they didn't have anybody warming up. It was finally like they dawned on Davey in the 5th. Hey, go get somebody up out there, which is strange. And I know the pitch number was only 84, I believe, which, you know, I guess you could say, well, he needed to get loose anyway. So what's the difference? He's getting shell and save our bullpen. But gosh, of all people to protect, it seemed like the no-brainer to me, because that's all we've heard about this entire season was how we're protecting this kid for the future.
And what concerned me most about last night's game was just not Tuesday night's game. It's not just the Strasburg, although he didn't cover himself in goal, obviously, but just the general sloppiness.
The
number of bad at-bats they've had. You know, it's one thing, the Philadelphia series, you had Halladay and Lee going back-to-back. And even though Lee struggled this year, and Halladay's not, you know, that season is not what they expected, you still have Halladay and Lee. They can still create trouble for you. And they were doing it without Desmond and Morris as well. Tuesday, you get Desmond and Morris back. You had the same poor at-bats. They had, you know, one runner reach there in the first, and that was basically it. And just the poor play in the field. The one play that annoyed me more than any other play was Espinoza on the single, seeing eye single that made it 3-0.
Yeah.
Just completely not thinking,
total bonehead.
An utter lack of concentration. And, you know, I know this, and the schedule's sort of in a weird place for them because they had the weekend series in Philadelphia, then a day off. They got a quick 2 in Miami, then they're back home to face the Cardinals on Thursday.
And remember, they played the Braves and had the day off here in town, then went to Philly,
had that day off again. A weekend series sandwiched by days off, this quick 2-game series, which is sort of weird.
That could catch up to you.
And the bad fielding you bring up, I was at the last game of the series against the Braves, and they were poor that night in the field.
It's kind of carried over
with the boneheaded stuff, as you're talking about, the base-running blunder in Philly on Sunday, which is a complete debacle.
And these are the small things that, you know, can carry over to the playoffs and really just cause you an early exit.
Let's hope we get to the playoffs.
The season doesn't end until late October 3rd, man. We got a lot of time left.
Yeah, there's a lot of time left on this thing. And again, you have to wonder, and I know they're saying, no, these are cycles of baseball, and I get that, but this, again, they're hunted now. They're the team everybody's marking on the schedule. Mm-hmm. They're no longer the little cute Nats. I mean, this is
they're not surprising anybody.
No. This is late in the season. You're 120 plus games in right now. People are looking at you. You're the best record in baseball. They've heard it all. The unflappable Nats. Hey, we can beat you without Steven Strasburg in the playoffs. We've heard all that. I've made that argument too. Now I feel like a moron because they look terrible right now.
The thing about here's what we're part of our concern stems from the fact that the Nationals have basically led the NL East since like the middle
the whole
of April.
Way.
They,
yes,
they haven't gone wire to wire, but they around Almost. April 12th, I think they took over the lead, and they've led ever since. They're 4 games up on Atlanta. They've cut, you know, they basically have that deficit in the space of a week with still about 5 weeks left in the season.
Which is scary.
They're going to make the
I think
it would take a Red Sox 2011 style Atlanta 2011 style.
Ooh.
We had this debate
collapse
here in the station.
As we sit here on this Wednesday night, there are currently, I believe, 7 games in front.
There are 7.
Yeah, well, it's sort of weird because there are 2 wild card spots
this
year.
Right, it's so wild card, things are bizarre.
It's just a total. I was told before the season, you know, this is MLB's way of guaranteeing that either the Yankees, Red Sox, or Dodgers will always make the playoffs.
I got to get in there every year.
I believe that the Dodgers are 2.5 games out of the wild card, and the Nats are 7.5 games in front of the Dodgers for the best record in the National League. So that's sort of, they have a little more space to play with than just the division. But really, losing the division and finding themselves in a one-game wild card playoff, and if it comes to that point when they wind up losing, it would feel like they weren't in the playoffs at all.
I agree. I mean, I know when you take the bigger view, if you step back and say, all right, let's think back to what we were feeling in March and April, then it's ridiculous that we'd feel that way. But we've been sucked in. The expectations have been risen.
If we've gotten to this point, you might as well go on and win
the
thing.
Right, right. Your expectations have been risen. You've had a fight the entire nation telling you you're the stupidest organization in the world. You've and at least in my case, I've defended the organization. Saying, no, they have a long-term view. I love it, you know. I'm all for it.
You still stand by that view?
Yeah, I do. I do stand by. Because I do think last night, to me, shows me that Strasburg, you know, you don't know, man.
He's shaky.
And listen, in fairness to Strasburg, he had a bad start last Tuesday night. His previous start against the Braves, he was brilliant. Yeah. You just can't.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, he's still a young guy. He's going to throw. You know, he's still got a lot to learn about pitching.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this.
He's going to have starts like this. It is sort of fascinating. Before you go, Scott. It's sort of fascinating to watch the Nationals fans the Nationals blogosphere along with the Capitals blogosphere. Those are the two big active fan communities here in DC, really. It's been fascinating to watch them. They are really eating their young.
Yeah.
They are really targeting each other over this Strasburg shutdown thing. I know we don't want to get into it too much, but
yeah, that's fine.
Here's the thing that I find so fascinating. The legitimate issue around Strasburg is this. Do you believe the doctor or do you not believe it?
Right.
Which takes more greater precedent? The Nationals' position today or the doctor's recommendations? Basically, do you listen to Dr. Yoakum's advice and shut him down regardless of where you are, or do you believe that playoff position should take precedence? Should not be about is any belief that the Nationals are in position to be good for years to come, because you cannot, as the Capitals have taught us, you cannot take that for granted. You only have so long a window.
The window of opportunity is only so long.
This could
so
be the
long.
Best shot the Nationals
that they,
have
that they ever see.
And you can't let either side of that cloud your judgment on Strasburg, I don't think.
And you can't bring the players involved in it, because the players are always going to ask for the ball.
What are the players going to say? They're always going to
pitch. I can play. I'm fine. Coach, I have a concussion. I'm fine. You know how that goes. So I think you got to listen to the doctor. This is really the plan as an organization. And here's the thing. And I know Mike Rizzo says it's my plan and everything. But, guys, you've all listened to Scott Boras over the last few weeks, and he's now backing off and backpedaling. This is their plan, and that's being kind. And when I say their, I put Scott Boras' name right next to Mike Rizzo's, maybe even Scott Boras' name slightly higher than Mike Rizzo's. That's what this boils down to. And I, you hate to think about it, but I just remember the Bullets being at war with David Falk, never got him anywhere. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not a guy you want to piss off, Scott Boras.
No.
And
no.
I'm not saying he's going to take all of his toys and go home if they don't do what he wants, but this is clearly something that's important to him. Mike Rizzo believes in this same type of philosophy. Maybe it's just a coincidence. I doubt it, but maybe it is. So I don't think it's going to matter. No matter how we think it, no matter how many times Rob Dibble or Leo Mazzoni or else whines about it, they're going to shut this kid down.
They're going to shut him down.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about it.
So, be ready for it.
I just had an image in my head of Rizzo and Strasburg and Scott Boras sitting in a doctor's room together, a couple of parents waiting for news about their kid.
All right, final,
sitting there in a gown, you know.
Final really important question about the Nationals. The skid continues through the weekend. Do you think game day operations in a sign to motivate this team will let Teddy Roosevelt win a freaking race, and then maybe that will be the thing that turns it around and saves
the
season?
Here's the thing. I've always believed that the surest way of action is to make your protests as visible as possible. If at the middle, when they were in this race now, in the middle of the fourth inning, is that when they do this now?
Yeah, I think so.
I think they've changed it.
I missed
times,
it last week. I went to the bathroom at the Nats game. I missed the whole thing. I'm so mad.
You're stealing my thunder. Oh. If everyone at the middle of the fourth inning en masse got up and just retreated to the concourse and turned their backs, then they would send a message to game day ops. We're sick of it.
Yeah, let the guy win.
The other thing, if you want to bring up Teddy bring a race, I want to lay off on the place your deposit for 2013 and get postseason priority for this year.
That's a jinx.
I think they've been running for that for a couple of weeks now.
Yeah, the players hear that stuff.
I think it's time to sort of dial back on that. They feed into it over the loudspeaker
as they're on the deck circle, and you're hearing that, and you're thinking, they're all like, yeah, we're in the playoffs.
Yeah,
you're not in the playoffs.
They're in the dugout feeding into it.
Yeah, and that's a problem because you got a lot of young guys, especially a guy like Bryce Harper, where every game is beyond what he's ever played in a season. This is the longest season of his life.
Yeah, for Bryce Harper, this is.
These guys have hit the wall.
He's hit the wall bad. Do you think he should still play every day?
I think so.
He should start getting
I think you'd spot him off a little bit
more. You could spot him a couple off.
I'd like to see Tyler Moore out there a little bit more.
This stretch, I would love to see Tyler out there. This stretch, when you've had the the number of off days in a row, that's probably not the time. And he still is. I mean, he gives you the best chance.
Is he an impact player every day like they claim? I mean, I don't know if I see that anymore. I notice even the running down the bases is not quite the zip he had in the beginning of the year.
Strasburg has a lot to learn. Harper is even more to learn.
He does. I mean, you're committed to a youth movement here, and that's another reason why the whole shutdown thing doesn't freak me out like it does everybody else.
Because of the youth on the roster.
Yeah. You could see the sense behind it. And for Harper, I mean, look, he got overshadowed by Mike Trout. And, it happens. It happens. That doesn't mean Trout's going to be a better player than him down the road. You just sort of have to, he has to sort of take his lumps because he's got to learn at some point. And they accelerated the curve a little bit by bringing him up and basically keeping him up for the whole year. I don't think anybody expected that.
No. I did not.
I thought he'd be up, like, mid-season. I didn't think it would be that as early
way. What happened? He got called up in late April for the series in L.A.
Exactly.
I thought he just wound up staying around.
Stuck around.
Just never.
To his credit. I mean,
initially he never gave them a reason to send him back.
Yeah,
down.
Now, initially he was playing.
Now that his play is noticeably slow.
And I think the longer the season goes, I think you start to see the youth on Bryce Harper.
Yeah, it probably is. And again, you're probably hitting the wall. I mean, physically, you got to wear down to this point. This is a long serve play. Well, guys, it was fun this week. Appreciate it. SB Nation DC podcast. Sam Chamberlain. We got cool stuff coming up this week on the site, I'm sure.
We're going to have a lot of college football stuff coming up. We have our new Maryland football editor, Pete Volk.
Nice.
If you go back, he's got his Maryland preview up. He published that on Monday. Your Chain Reactions column is up. We're going to have Daniel Schifferbaugh with his thoughts on the Redskins. On the Redskins-Bucks game. We got DC United. They're making their push for the playoffs. Brendan Dar, our soccer guy, is going to bring some analysis on that. Right. And, of course, throughout the weekend, start of college football, Pete Volk, again, will have his thoughts on Maryland's season opener against William & Mary. And, of course, countdown to kickoff of the NFL season, a lot of Redskins. Patrick Reddington, our Nationals guy, will have his take on the Nats every Monday. Watch for that as we get to the stretch run. Just a lot of good stuff coming up. Really excited about the next month and month or two here in D.C.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have a hockey season, too. Hey, Charles Walton, our SB Nation contributor, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Sam Chamberlain, SB Nation D.C. editor. I'm Scott Jackson. Check out Chain Reactions columns when you can on SB Nation D.C. and ESPN 982 to 4, Monday through Friday, inside the locker room. Until next week, say so long for the SB Nation D.C. podcast.